Grace to you and peace from God who is, who was, and who is to come. Amen. I feel like I really need to begin with an apology concerning my sermon from a couple of weeks ago. My apologies to PennDOT and the company that designed the 15581 interchange and any employees associated thereof. No direct offense was meant on my part to either of those establishments or their employees. My derision was supposed to be directed at the drivers who ignore the appropriate signage and cause risk to life and vehicles by stopping inappropriately, illegally, and extremely dangerously in the middle lane. Sorry. Since I know and trust the representatives from those two establishments who went above and beyond to explain to me the reasons why that interchange is indeed the way it is, I will believe those explanations. I still think it's a dumb interchange, though. So, Christ is risen. Thank you. They were a little slow this morning. Okay. But that's why we're here, isn't it? We're here to celebrate the risen Lord. You know, of course, not everybody believed that, did they? I mean, you know, come on. A dead guy rising from the grave. He had the ever-living life beaten out of him. He was hung up on a cross like a load of wet laundry and left to dry. That guy is alive? And then we turn around and belittle Thomas, whose belief was shaken to the core for not believing the absurdity of what his fellow believers were telling him, that Jesus was in fact alive. Have you ever seen something that's not really there? Or been mistaken, maybe, about your circumstances? Many of you are familiar with my friend Max Wolfe. For those of you who don't know him, please don't tell him this because he doesn't know it, but Max is a puppet. And the first time that I brought Max home, I had him sitting on the dryer in our mudroom, the entryway to the house. And it was dusk, so the light wasn't that good. And as we came back into the house, our good friend, Cyril the dog, Cyril was a long-haired Dresden, who has since gone on to join the Camp Eternal. But Cyril saw Max sitting up there on the dryer, and Cyril stopped and stared and walked over to Max and sniffed his butt. For Cyril, it was a case of not quite believing what he was seeing. Kind of like Thomas. Thomas had been through this horrific weekend, right? He'd experienced his teacher, his master, his friend, his mentor, first off, washing not only his feet, but the feet of all of the other disciples, which here is his idol taking on the aspects of a servant, a slave even, in order to show all of them true humility. Then Thomas is with them down in the garden. He watches as Jesus is arrested, and Simon Peter, ever the over-anxious Simon Peter, grabs somebody's sword, whacks the ear off of some guy. Jesus reaches out, takes the ear, and heals it back onto that person's head. Now, we aren't told specifically that Thomas ran, but we do know that Peter is the only one who is identified as going to listen in on that sham of a trial that's held at the high priest's house. And we can only really guess as to whether or not Thomas or any of the other disciples themselves showed up to see Jesus there on the cross. I believe that they did, but the only one that Scripture ever identifies is John, or really, as the Gospel of John calls him, the disciple whom Jesus loved. But Thomas knew. Thomas knew that Jesus died, that Jesus was dead, that Jesus was buried. And for Thomas, those were unequivocal facts. They are not to be denied or ignored or claimed to be false or fake news. Jesus was dead. Thomas knew it. He saw it, and he understood what he had heard as well. Speaking of knowing and believing, I don't know, you might have heard about this on the news a couple of weeks ago. Two gentlemen were house-sitting for a relative of theirs in Beaverton, Oregon. They had come over to take the dog out for a walk. They locked the house up before they left. They came back from the walk. They came into the house, and they heard a noise. Being good house-sitters, they tracked it down. They discovered that the door to the bathroom was locked, and there was noise coming from inside the bathroom. I've read a lot of news stories over the last couple of weeks, especially of people finding intruders in their homes and not wanting to confront those intruders themselves. So I think that these two fellows did the very wise thing, and they called the police. Fortunately, an off-duty police officer was nearby, heard the call, came over, verified that indeed the bathroom was locked. There were noises coming from inside, so he called for backup. Backup arrived, police officers, including the canine unit. So, two officers, guns drawn, the canine ready, come into the house, knock on the door. They indeed as well hear that there's noise in the bathroom. The door is locked. No one's responding. They force their way into the bathroom and discover a Roomba vacuum cleaner stuck between the toilet and the tub. The vacuum was let off with a warning. Mistaken identity, seeing but not believing. I don't think we can really blame Thomas for wanting to actually physically reach out and touch Jesus. But what about you? Have you ever had that need? That deep-seated desire, that nearly tangible urgency to know, to experience, to feel the presence of God. The downside, of course, is we can't. At least not the way that Thomas was able to do that. The way that we touch God is when we rest an assuring hand on the shoulder of a friend who is grieving. We touch God when we sit down and talk with the fellows over at Bethesda Mission or help serve breakfast at St. Patrick's Cathedral. We touch God when we listen to someone who is filled with anger or in pain. And then we ourselves, in turn, are touched by God when others do the same for us. So I guess the next question is, will we recognize Christ when we next encounter him? Another story about misidentification. This time, we're going to jump the pond. We're going to go over to Devon, England. A concerned citizen, A concerned citizen called the Royal Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Animals, the RSPCA. They said there was a fox in the neighborhood. It had been acting lethargic and hadn't moved for a couple of days. The caller was told to try the broom test to see if they could get the animal to move, but the caller said, well, no, the fox is tracking him with its eyes and it appears to be breathing fine. So the RSPCA dispatched an officer to travel to Devon to hopefully rescue this fox before you know, something happened to it. Unfortunately, by the time the officer got there, it turned out that indeed the fox had died, but it had died some time ago because it was taxidermied. And somebody had been moving it around the village in order to prank everybody. All right, so it's not as humorous as arresting a Roomba vacuum cleaner. But the next time that you spend the afternoon out in your yard doing yard work, working on the garden, you've got your garbage can there, you're filling it with the refuse, and you go in at the end of the day and you get washed up and it's dust, and you look out and you see at the end of your yard a shadowy figure, remember, please, it's not a bear, it's your garbage can. Remember, too, God comes to us in all different kinds of ways. And in those many different ways, we are touched by God. And then we, in turn, can touch God as well. Amen.